Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. One of our greatest failures is keeping things general when we ought to be more specific. How much of a sense of love do we withhold because of our love is general instead of specific? How many needy people remain so because our sympathy never quite moves us into action? How many persons have never learned about the love of Jesus Christ because instead of talking about that, we leave it in general religious terms? The hymn On Jordan's Bank, The Baptist Cry, was written by a Frenchman, a professor at the University of Paris, and first published in 1736. It was translated into English 100 years later by a priest of the Church of England. During this third week of Advent, both the Bible text before us and the hymn of the week we have chosen present us with a preacher who got quite specific with people about the things godly people ought to be doing. The preacher, of course, is John the Baptizer. John was needed in his day the same way that we need precise, clear preaching today concerning how to bring care and healing to a broken world. The Bible story before us is impressive in this connection. People were brought out to a mindset in which they seemed to be able to think only in generalities. The people here were so moved by John's preaching that they began asking a specific question. What then shall we do? John answered their question by pointing out definite ways in which they could change their behavior, ways that would also bring care and help to others. John told them, for instance, that they had two coats, that they should keep one and give the other away. And if they were blessed with more than enough to eat and drink, that they should share that surplus with those around them who needed it. People in business were told specifically by John they shouldn't overcharge or cheat their customers. People need to stop being so money hungry that they devise shady ways of obtaining it, like cheating on taxes, lying about a product, or twisting someone's arm. What's marvelous here is that John's Advent message moved these people to the point they wanted to know very specifically what the response to God's call ought to be. That is the way it always is, though, with the gospel, isn't it? The gospel isn't just general terms. It is very specific. The gospel is the word of the Father, which took on specific form in flesh in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit's work in reminding us of that word. We do not have a disembodied or absentee Savior, but rather, as St. John put it, a Savior who became flesh and dwelt among us. The Savior's life was the most specific ministry that this world has ever seen. He dealt with people one-on-one. Jesus proclaimed God's love for the whole world, but he did it individually to individuals. He forgave a woman of the night. He put mud on the eyes of a blind man in order that he might see. He raised the widow's son from the dead. One-on-one, Jesus applied his healing power. Jesus continued the Father's work of rescue in a very specific way. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. On a hill named Golgotha, Pilate's soldiers erected a cross, and Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to that cross. He did something much more concrete than general talk about faith in the future or love conquering all. He did the very specific task of dying on the cross for our sins. And we weren't left with a vague rumor about the memory of him or keeping his spirit alive. No, we have a specific message about his resurrection as well. It's not just hearsay inconclusive ideas. No, we have recorded for us the fact he has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. These are the words of the eyewitness account. Specific words, not general. Later, they saw him with their own eyes. Again, very specific, not general. Advent is the time to be catapulted out of the cocoon of religious generalities. It's a time to get real about our salvation and about our calling in response to that salvation. John the Baptizer did that for his generation. He stood on the banks of the Jordan River and he preached. The people heard him. They responded. They wanted to know specifically how they could live as ones who have been baptized. They wanted to know how people of the kingdom should act and what they should do. They moved from the general to the specific. Several years ago, the Roman Catholic Archbishop in Central America, Oscar Romero, was slain. But some of his most famous words are these. Some want to keep the gospel disembodied, that it doesn't get us involved at all in the world it must save. Such is so often our problem. We want some kind of disembodied faith, something that's out there, something that's vague, something that's very general. We like to keep the gospel general when in reality it speaks to us and speaks to each person quite specifically. God knows the value of being specific, of putting words into concrete form. God himself took on the body of that baby in the manger at Bethlehem. And as the Word made flesh, in whom the fullness of the deity dwelt bodily, Jesus was always quite specific in how he demonstrated his universal love. Talking about our hesitancy to get specific in serving God, author Elizabeth O'Connor put it this way, I would much rather be committed to God in the abstract than be committed to him at the point of my gifts. And that's exactly where many of us might find ourselves today, in the midst of this blessed Advent season. We're being swept away by a lot of spiritual generalities, but in fact, if we were asked, you know, to use our gifts, we might even ask, what gifts? We have no clear idea about the specific gifts that God has given to us to use in the service of our neighbor. If you were going to a job interview and you were talking to your possible future employer, do you think you would get very far if you said, what gifts do I have to offer? Do you think that he would be impressed or rather unimpressed? Advent is the time of God's job call to all Christians. The people responded to John by saying, what then shall we do? Maybe our first question ought to be, what then can I do to serve God in this place that God has put me? As we purchase gifts for others, we also need to be spending some of our Advent days searching out and detailing, what are the gifts that God has given to me? For instance, you have the gift of hospitality, the ability to extend a warm welcome to a stranger. Over the last year, we've received several new members. Have you offered a kind word to those new members using your hospitality? Or if you have the ability to bake or cook or to make gifts for others. We have many homebound or shut-in members and many who are suffering sickness and things that would probably like fresh cookies or having a gift given to them from a brother or sister in Christ. Why not speak heart to heart with someone who does not know the Savior? The gospel needs to be embodied, even as God's love came to earth in that infant boy at Christmas. No more generalities, please, but a dynamic expression of the gospel that Christ lived among us, all the way to cross and resurrection. Remember that we sang about the hymn that we sang about John the Baptizer, and keep asking the question, what then shall I do? In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.